This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Yes, we're back. We've done our little break, haven't we?
Mm.
Look what I'm having, Paul Andrews. This will interest you.
What's this? Raw organic dandelion root tea.
Yeah, for my AstraZeneca diet.
Are you some kind of rabbit?
No, everybody keeps telling me I've got to eat dandelion root, you see, for my AstraZeneca damage. It's very good for it, apparently. A bit like pine needle tea.
Is that why rabbits never have any problems?
Maybe, but it's very difficult to find dandelion root that hasn't been weed on by dogs where I live. So I just got the tea instead. I'll tell you what it tastes like in a minute.
What, dog weed or dandelion root?
No, dandelion root. Bag, anyway.
Don't you call me a bag.
I won't.
I've had a tweet from the lovely Tabitha Beasley.
How is she?
Who's known as the marketing assistant.
Yeah.
And I said, do you want to shout out? And she said, oh, go on then. It's been a while. Just to support the importance of a strategic marketing support organisation, she's tweeted an article from Forbes magazine that's marketers need to be more strategic. Give her a follow on the Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Tabitha is TMA. All one word, Tabitha is TMA. Give her a follow.
I'm trying to find the lawnmower person, but I have to keep scrolling because my whole timeline has gone quite bananas.
It's quite a bonkers one, and you'll find it in any minute now. When you come across it, you'll go, oh, right. I've had a tweet from Cowan's group, and they say, yes, please. Can they have a shout out? But I don't know them, so let's see what they do. They deliver clarity and value.
Which we all need. I especially need clarity.
They deliver clarity in insurance and risk advice is what they do. So that's the Cowans Group, and their Twitter handle is Cowans, C-O-W-E-N-S, Cowans Group UK. All one word. Give them a follow. Insurance brokers.
I suppose I ought to go on mentions.
I said I'd mention this, and I need to mention this. It's Bev sent me this from Chips and Dinks. She works part-time for a physiotherapy organisation in Beckenham. And Physiotherapy Kent are hiring. They're looking for an independent, motivated physiotherapist based in their Beckenham clinic. This really is a great opportunity for either full-time or part-time experienced physios. Please retweet if you can. We would really appreciate it. And there's a whole thing about the ad on there. Or you can look on jobsinkent.com under healthcare and find the job there as well.
How many million vacancies are at the moment? It was 1.2 before Christmas.
The job vacancies, there are 1.4 million unemployed currently, 4.8%. Almost the lowest in Europe, apart from Holland.
Mm.
And there are 1.3 million jobs.
1.3 million jobs. Wow. Yeah. And what's going to happen in April with the NHS when they get rid of the unvaccinated?
There'll be 1,500,000 unemployed, won't there? Because there'll be 100,000 unemployed.
Yes. And there'll be an influx of foreign doctors and nurses, I would think,
from
Nigeria and places who are vaccinated. We'll have to replace them.
Do you want to know what I think's really going to happen?
What?
I think they'll do a U-turn.
Oh, I think they have to.
Because it's bonkers.
Well, the nursing homes have got in real trouble with staffing.
Like so much of this COVID narrative, there's no logic or common sense in it.
The good news on the Omicron, we're not going to talk about it now, but the good news on it, we have to do another show.
Mm.
People don't seem to be getting ill. I mean, you were wandering around, you thought you had a cold.
I definitely had a cold.
And I've got other people that are not ill, so that's a really, really good, but it does seem incredibly contagious. An Eye on the Grand Folkestone have been listening in. Hello to you. You can follow them on at Folkestone Grand. There you are, Chris. One for you to follow. They are a public interest site with no affiliations. They're keeping an eye on the restoration or lack of for an Edwardian Grade 2 listed building called The Grand, which we've all frequented, and there's some beautiful pictures. And they say thank you for highlighting on the Business Bunker, Jill Serkin and Vanilla Webb, for highlighting the disaster that is The Grand right now, live on the Business Bunker radio show. They agree $15 million to restore and develop the building. No business means no income. Hope someone listens. Paul Andrews.
Yep, okay, sorry, I'm just reading some of the messages.
And then Tracy Ferguson at Tasey 64, Plucky's World, she's saying it's a great discussion. So she's enjoyed Chris Dodd there and his knowledge about what's going on. And Neville Gaunt is listening also, and he says small is beautiful, stay local. And that's a great book too by Schumacher.
E.F. Schumacher, yeah.
Not the driver.
No. E.F. Schumacher, small is beautiful, economics as if people mattered.
Brilliant.
1964.
Yeah.
Anyway, Neville also said how much he enjoyed Chris's bit on his acquisition as well.
Well, everybody's saying that. Yeah. And Tasey also, Tracy Ferguson at Tasey 64 is saying, enjoy listening to Chris now. Very interesting. Buying versus renting, that's a British way of thinking, isn't it? I agree with you, Jules. Would always want to be an owner rather than a renter. Exactly. Mm. I kind of wonder with renting, even not just commercial but residential, what happens when you retire and you're an accountant, Chris, if you haven't got the money to then suddenly find, you know, $1,500, $2,000 rent because you're on a pension and your pension's not great.
Oh, you're talking about renting your own house?
Yeah, residential.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you still want to carry on your business but maybe you're not working as much because you're 70. You've still got to pay rent.
It may be because I'm a child of that generation.
Yeah, old.
But I've never, ever, ever understood. I know quite a few people now that go, I'm not buying a house, I'm going to rent. And you go, really?
Yeah, why?
Really?
What do you do when you retire?
Well, I'm not even worried about that. It's dead funds, isn't it? You're spending $2,000 a month giving it to somebody else to look after your house.
Yeah.
Whereas if you spend $2,500 a month on a mortgage, you own the property at the end of the day. And even if we found a way of not making it an asset bubble so that price rises didn't go up as much, it's still an asset. You still at least get your money back.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I know for young people how hard it is to buy a house. So don't get me wrong. I'm not having a go at anybody that wants to buy one that can't, because that's a nightmare at the moment. You know, my youngest rents a room in Brixton.
Mm. And Electric Avenue?
Just off, it's almost opposite Electric Avenue. Mm. And there's four of them that rent a flat there, and they've got a bedroom each, and each of them pays £850 a month.
That's crazy.
For one room.
One room.
And the geezer that owns it lives in Bali. And that's his source of income. You can't blame him for that.
No.
But Stu would love to buy a house, okay? I'm sure he won't mind me saying this on here, so if he's not listening.
Hello,
anyway,
Stu.
He earns $50,000 a year. Mm. Yeah, he's got a very solid job.
Mm.
He's been there a long time. He's put together over £90,000 in savings, mostly through trading Bitcoin.
There's a book about that, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
Written by my new husband.
I know, I'm going to read it.
Yeah, and then you can pass it on to Chris Dodd, because he's an accountant. He'd like to know about Bitcoin and all that.
Anyway. Stu's got $90,000 to put towards a deposit, and no one will lend him enough money to actually buy anything in London. Yeah, the most he can borrow is £250,000, and you can't buy a dog kennel in London for that.
What my youngest, who's 26 next week, Shay, we lent him $50,000, which he's paying back, and he had to buy in Whitstable, where we live. Mm. And he's renting in Greenwich, and he's renting his house out in Whitstable because he can't live there because he needs to be in London.
To pay the rent in Greenwich.
Yeah, exactly. But it's mad because he kind of wants to live in Whitstable, and he probably will in a couple of years. He's been working from home. They've actually rented, him and Mimi, his girlfriend, they've rented a two-bedroom apartment in Greenwich because they're both working from home. One's on the kitchen table and one's in the second bedroom doing Zooms. It's mad, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. Right, I've got another tweet here from the Recovery World, the lovely Sandra. She said, I would absolutely love a Business Bunker shout out, please. I've also just put my wellbeing shop online too, so would love to share the link. Now the problem is the link starts with a bit.ly bit, and when I click on it, it doesn't show you what the first bit is. It just takes you straight to the website. So the best thing to do, she says, we're still having tweaks, so do bear with it, but many thanks and have a great show. So the best thing to do is to actually follow her on Twitter, and then you can see the link. And her Twitter handle is Recovery Well, WELL, all one word, Recovery Well. That's a lovely Sandra. Follow her, click on the link to her shop, the Wellbeing Shop.
That's
an order, by the way. You have to do that.
And the lovely Martin White is asking...
Hold on. Why don't we keep reading these... blooming stupid
but Martin
tweets.
Martin Wright?
Yeah, I don't want his tweets.
He's lovely, and he's often to be found on a golf course, which some still exist, you know.
Yeah, he is. He spends his life on a golf
course.
Yeah,
so he says he hopes I'm feeling better after
he's a golf bandit.
Yeah, but he says he hopes I'm feeling better after my latest AstraZeneca. I spent 7 hours at William Harvey.
Right, I found this tweet to you.
Yeah, I found it.
Oh, right, about lawnmowers.
Yeah, it's Mr. Rant Bottom is the tweet.
Yeah. Okay, it's Chris from Mopower and Motastic in Harwicham. Where's Harwicham? It's Kent somewhere.
Yeah, it's between Maidstone and Ashford.
Okay, so quite near us. We have a very special product in 2022. It's the first robot mower that doesn't need a perimeter wire. You simply put it in your garden and it maps your garden and you never have to cut the grass again. Mopower Bee Bunker. Well, I've seen that. Thank you, Zoe. And I've asked him for a link. Because I've got a robot.
Hold on. You've started on tweet number 6 there. Yeah. There's 4 tweets before that.
Oh, well, I'm sure my lovely Zoe will find them.
Well, no, I've got them here, so I'll start reading them, but there's a lot to read here.
Well, his name is Mr. Ramsbottom.
Well, let me get through it, and then we'll get there, because I want to speak to Zoe in a minute.
I do.
This is Chris and Jenny from Motastic and Mopower in Harwicham in Kent. We sell, service and repair garden machinery and specialise in battery-powered machines and robots. We've had to change our business model from being a stockist, and in 2022 we will only sell products on sale or return. Hold on. No.
Come along.
We bought 70 grand's worth of stock in December 2020 and it arrived just before lockdown. We had very few customers during lockdown despite doing more advertising than any other year, including radio advert competitions. Even the people who won the competitions refused to come and collect their prizes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And made us drop them off. We had to get a 25 grand loan to pay for the stock that didn't sell. So this year we've had to switch to ranges that are only sale or return with a much lower profit margin. We've run our own business for 25 years and this is the first time we've had to get second jobs to survive. I wanted to read it all because that is a kind of story that's been repeated over and over and over and over again, sadly. And I forgot to ask Chris while we were talking about this. So if he doesn't mind, I'd like to ask Chris now.
You can ask him now, yeah.
As an accountant, you deal with lots and lots of small businesses. How do you see the business landscape unfolding in the next 18 months or so, Chris, as people come back to work, reopen their businesses, and, of course, a lot of them are going to be having loans, government loans, bounce back loans, and all kind of things that are now starting to come due for repayment. And from my point of view, I think there's going to be a few struggles. Yeah. How do you see things?
I agree, Paul, that people will feel the pinch. Definitely, with the repayment of bounce backs and CBILS loans and other funding that they've had to undertake just to survive.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go, I think, 2022, without trying to put too many people into depression mode, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to call, isn't it? Because, for instance, I'm normally reasonably good at analysing business situations as they unfold. And way back in 2020, I was going, do you know what? Once furlough ends, there's going to be destruction in the job market. But it hasn't really happened.
Do you mean by destruction of the job market?
Well, the job market has been destructed, but not in the way I thought. Mm. You know, I thought what we'd have is like 7% unemployment, and I actually made that as a prediction. I said, I think we'll hit 7% unemployment again for the first time in like 40 years. Because things will get bad. Now, we're at almost 5%, but as I said earlier, that's one of the lowest in the EU. I think only Holland and one other country are lower than us. Even the mighty Germany's more than that, is 6.5% or whatever. But I really thought we'd have a lot more unemployment than we have. But what we've actually got is too many jobs. Again, we've got millions, 1.2 million unfilled job vacancies again. And so I've been surprised by that. But I've also predicted that a lot of businesses, when they come back, they're going to face two or three things all in one go. Opening up their business again after fairly much being either totally closed or partially closed for 18 months. They've got loans to pay. They've got payments to catch up on. So if they deferred their VAT or deferred their capital gains tax payments or whatever, they've got to pay those. And although HMRC are being reasonable about it and going, well, you can pay us a pound a week or whatever, you know, people are going to be looking at that and going, well, hold on a minute, I've got no customers, I've got no income, I've got all these debts. Don't really know. I think I might just shut up shop. Now, I hope that doesn't happen. It will happen with some businesses. It's got to. There's no way out of it. It's just got to. But I hope it doesn't happen with too many businesses. At the moment, talking to the banks, they couldn't care less because they're guaranteed by the government. So you go, I'm not paying my bounce back loan back, and I go, yeah, whatever. You know, so it could be Armageddon, and I hope it isn't. But
yeah. Well, I know that from talking to SMEs around Kent that I've met lately, that the whole problem is always getting staff.
Yeah.
Cannot get staff.
You can't get, nobody's applying for jobs. Anyway, enough of all of that. I want to talk to the lovely Zoe. I need Zoe to get really close to the microphone with a big love in on that, because Chloe has a lovely, gorgeous, but very quiet voice. So... Zoe.
She's got a microphone. She's fine, aren't you, Zoe?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Can you hear me okay?
That's perfect. That's
loud,
absolutely
and clear.
Perfect. Zoe, it's lovely to see you again. Thank you so
it's
much
great
for joining
to be
us.
Here.
Happy New Year to you.
And to you, and to Jules. And to Chris.
You're the go-to person for us in the southeast of England when we want to talk about social media and digital marketing and all those technical things, and you have been for a long time. When I was promoting the show for this show and saying that you were on, the amount of people went, oh, Zoe, she's brilliant, she's lovely, she does everything for nothing, and, you know, she gives us loads of advice and stuff like that, and you do.
I think they were saying that she was generous with her nuggets. I think that was...
Generous with her nuggets?
Yeah, that was Tracy, yeah. I think. Tracy Ferguson.
Tracy and Neville.
She doesn't do everything for nothing, though.
No. See, now you've made me laugh now. Now I've got to tell you something that you don't want to know.
What me or Zoe?
Well, my grandson, Bear, who's three, yeah, they managed to come over and see us just before Christmas, and I took him to Nando's, right? And he wanted to know what I was eating. So I said chicken, and his dad said a bit like chicken nuggets, and Bear decided they were chicken balls, and that made him laugh. So now I said to you earlier, he's been in hospital, and I was concerned about him, so I FaceTimed him when he came out, and he went, "Granddad, chicken balls."
Oh, I love him.
So yeah, he's back.
Proud granddad story there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. So Zoe. Tell us what you're up to. I know you've got the Mastering Success Academy about to start.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about that. But tell us what you're up to. Tell us where things are at the moment in social media, because there's a lot happening. There's social media sites being launched all over the place.
Getter.
Especially through lockdown.
Yeah. I couldn't get her onto Getter. On my iPhone, it was very clunky. So yeah. I guess I have to do it on my desktop.
And where it's just starting. Everyone's trying to get on there.
Yeah,
Well, it just kept giving me different messages every time. So first of all, it didn't like my username and said I had to use letters and numbers, which I was using. And then it didn't like something else. Then it sent me the code by email, and then that didn't work. So I gave up. But I've heard it's a bit Trumpy. What do you think?
Do you know, I think...
Is it a bit Trumpy?
I think lots of these apps are coming out. You know, through lockdown, we had Clubhouse, which was absolutely amazing. I mean, Clubhouse, you know, we...
Was that a party?
It was an audio app.
It's an audio app.
I've never heard of it.
Brilliant. And
no, you have to be invited.
Yeah, it had to be invited, but not now. But through lockdown, it was massive. People were coming together. It was a great collaboration. There was a lot of people saying, oh, you know, don't get on Clubhouse. But when we got on there early, we grew such a great community. And you're finding these apps pop up everywhere where people were trying out, seeing whether it works, and then jumping onto the monetization of it. But you know, I think you've just got to think about what is your strategy rather than just jumping onto every social media platform.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And just wasting time and resources. So
I've got a Getter account. I managed to get one.
You managed to get a Getter.
It is a bit of an echo chamber at the moment, which is a bit of a drawback.
Yeah,
but a lot, you know, there were Cat, Gab and Parler, and all the others kind of didn't really work because they were poorly done. And The reason that so many people have left Twitter is people have just got sick and tired of Twitter and their stupid algorithms.
Policing.
Well, it's their algorithms and the fact that they're all 12 years old and they can't tell, you know. She got suspended. Jules got suspended for saying...
Chink of glass.
She had two champagne glasses and she went, chink, chink, and they suspended her for racism.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. But there's also... my son says that, you know, I'm telling the truth on Twitter about my AstraZeneca damage, and my son says that Twitter is, you know, putting things saying this may
They'll
be misleading.
Yeah. They're hiding.
And hiding it.
But that's not freedom of speech, right? And all the platforms are doing this. And there's a particular group that I'm part of on Facebook.
So hang on,
all the platforms are identifying when people are talking about the C word.
Yeah. Okay.
And if they're talking about it or using certain keywords and it brings up lots of conversation going on, they will have a look at what people are saying about it. And if you're talking about it in the wrong direction, then they're going to either... kick you off, block you, make suspend your account, or you know, shut that group.
It's interesting, isn't it? And Facebook, for instance, who are really bad at kicking people off, still run adverts every day. I saw one yesterday for spam and illegal adverts. I saw two adverts on Facebook that Facebook had taken money for, and one was still telling you that Peter Jones from Dragon's Den was behind their product when he isn't, and the other one was selling an illegal product. It was selling a sharpened knuckle duster. Yeah. Now, that's illegal in the UK.
Yeah.
And Facebook are taking money for that and then going, oh, you can't say COVID.
Yeah. Well, they've closed a couple. I was a member of a couple of support groups on Facebook for AstraZeneca damage. Very genuine people, all damaged, like me. And they've closed them down. Yeah, and we were helping each other.
Well, did you see the British Medical Journal sent a really stiff letter to Facebook saying, your fact checkers... disabled one of our tweets, and we'd like to know what the medical qualifications of your fact checkers are, because they're wrong.
Yeah.
And we're the British Medical Journal, we know what we're talking about, and you can't stop. And it turned out that their fact checkers actually just all work for Facebook and they just guessed.
And obviously these posts are coming up, and I just think that I don't know. You need to have freedom of speech. There's only one side of the story that's going on.
It is annoying on Twitter, especially because I, you know, Zoe, that I spend most of my life on Twitter.
As do I.
It is annoying from both sides of the political argument, whatever your beliefs are. There is so much fake news, and you have to be so careful
you
now.
Do.
You know, people put up a video and they go, "This is a riot that's happening because of so and so," and you think, "Oh." And then you look at it, you go, hold on a minute, I recognise that. And then when you check it on Google, because you can check it.
1066.
It happened 15 years ago about something completely different.
It was the Battle of Hastings, really.
Exactly. And the bloke with the arrow in his eye wasn't,
exactly.
You know, wasn't from the COVID anti-vax group. Yeah. So you do have to be careful. And I do understand that, you know, there is an issue here with the amount of fake news that's actually put out. And some of it can be dangerous, you know, because it can get people, you know, into trouble. But, you know, we've got to find out a way of allowing people to say what they want to say.
I totally agree.
You know, without...
Without their account suspended.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's kind of like I was saying with banking technology. The problem here is there are too many algorithms and too many automated systems that do stupid things, like pick up certain words, you know, like... I mean,
chink.
Well, if you support Scunthorpe or Arsenal, you're in big trouble if they've got a swear monitor on, you know. Do you know what I mean? Because... Yeah. And that's the problem with technology. If you leave it entirely to technology, and the problem with people like Twitter is they never reply. If they suspend you, and if you email them, go, why did you do that? You never get a reply. And also, they don't live up to their own kind of service standards as well. Somebody posted my private address in an argument, and that is a total infringement of Twitter.
Of course. Yeah.
So I reported them, and 3 weeks later, Twitter wrote back and went, no, it's fine. No, it's not.
No,
it's not. Anyway. Enough of that. I want to talk about the positive stuff, because social media, like most things in this world, is a force for good as much as it's a force for, you know, being stupid. And most of us are just trying to use it as a force for good to promote our businesses.
And it's a way to connect with people that you could never possibly have met before. You know, I've got now, I class them as friends, people in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, global.
They try to avoid her, obviously, but she says, you're my friend.
But I can honestly say that I don't get an awful lot of trolling, which is amazing.
No, I'm exactly the same.
I'm very lucky.
I think it's about making sure that whatever you put out there, you're going to put something out there political or controversial.
Yeah.
Expect to have...
You're going to get a response.
Yeah.
And so when people say to me, you know, I'm getting so much of it, well, let's have a look at what you're actually posting out and let's see how we can rectify. Mm. Yeah. But one of the positive things I was talking about last week on various media was about Wordle. Have you heard about Wordle?
No.
It's a little word game.
Right.
It's a guy that actually created it for his partner. And because they wanted to add it to their routine. And it's actually become 90 people were playing it in November. Now 300,000 people are playing it. And he just put it out there for just him and his wife to play.
Wordle.
What does it do? How's it work? What is it?
It's where you get 6 chances to guess a 5-letter word.
Right.
And so it's a bit like Lingo from the 80s.
I need to
it's
be on
TV
that.
Now, isn't
I need to be on that.
I didn't
be on
know
that.
Lingo.
If Amanda's listening, this is our chance here, Amanda. Yeah, Amanda's got a CCTV system and we've forgotten the password. Right, so what we need is Wordle and see how many people guess, and then we can try all the guesses, can't we, to see if it will break the password.
That's brilliant. But you only get one game a day, so it's really disciplined that you're not then going on there and spending loads of hours on it. But it's a really great thing and it's a positive thing. People have come together on Twitter talking about it. Right. It's got competitive and everything. So it's great.
Oh, lovely. I like things like that and I like positive stories like that because that is the power of social media, isn't it? To bring things together like that and to bring them to people's attention. I kind of wish we could bin the politics, if I'm really honest. Zoe and I were talking off air earlier about the fact that engagement on Twitter has fallen off a cliff at the moment, and I was kind of suspecting that it's because everybody's obsessed with COVID and politics and the albino baboon and his party and all
that.
But
then look at the engagement we've had today. It's gone bananas today.
Yeah, exactly. So there are real people out there really wanting to engage on really nice things and to talk to us, which is lovely. So Zoe, from your point of view, you're about to launch your new academy.
Yeah, the academy's been running for the last 18 months. Yeah. It all come about in lockdown, where I started to generously work with small businesses and just helped them out with a few things, got them online. And there was about 500 businesses that we had in our first group. We'd done like a 30-day social media challenge and they were all come on. And at the end, I thought there's a need for these businesses whilst they're at home. Mm-hmm. So we created the ZT Social Media Growth Academy. And they all come on and they paid a subscription each month. And now we're every quarter, whilst we go through the next year, we're doing a series of masterclasses to allow other businesses to jump on board, learn. And if they want to at the end, then find out about the Growth Academy. But it's really great. We've got over 250 businesses so far for next week.
And when's the next one start?
Next 16th, which is Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So give us an overview of what actually happens in the Academy, because it's online, yeah?
Yeah, the Growth Academy is all online, but we do meet up a lot face-to-face. It's become a real part of the family. Like lovely Sarah Grant and Jennifer Connolly said they were only going to stay for a month. They said they're never going to leave. but it's where they can come along. We have 6 live sessions every month.
Right.
They learn about all the different social media platforms, and it's a really great community where businesses can, find out how to use social media effectively for their business.
Absolutely. And that's a fantastic thing, because social media is a powerful marketing tool, and so many people don't really make use of it properly or make use of it at all in a lot of cases. And you also find people that get very confused. And I have to say, I've kind of fallen into this trap a little bit myself, because I just got a bit annoyed. For many, many years, I've had a Twitter account for years. I steadfastly, it was a business thing.
Yeah.
That's what I had it for, was to talk about my businesses, talk about small business and to share blogs and stuff like that. Didn't get involved in any political discussions or whatever. Just recently, that's been really hard. I go, that's just nonsense. And like you say, once you put that out there, and then a million people come at you and go, oh, you know what you're talking about. And, it's the 5G or it's the chemtrails. And you go, oh, blimey, here we go.
Yeah.
I would say, even though I don't take my own advice, if you are going to be on social media with a business account, stick to business, basically.
Yeah, stick to business. Yeah. And if you have got an opinion, because the worst thing that can happen, if you go and be political or controversial, you're going to alienate half of your audience.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you're going to get twice as much back.
Yeah. A few years ago, somebody did that with a business account that I saw. I won't say exactly what they said on the air because Ofcom will take me off air if I said exactly what they said. Yeah. But they put a post up that said, if you voted UKIP, you can do... This was during the referendum.
Yeah.
And I sent them a private message. I went, an awful lot of people, you know, voted that way in that referendum, and you just told them to do one. I would estimate that something like 34% of your customers did that.
Yeah.
Well, they can do one. Really? Really? I said, if I were you, I'd just avoid that. I get you've got a political view on this, but...
And we all want to have a rant.
Yeah,
but if you want a rant, do it in your private... do it in a private group with other people that will understand, or in a place where people can't screenshot it, because I've heard people even have that happen to them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, just be really careful what you say.
Yeah. So let's come back to talking about the Academy, which is a force for positivity, which we love. So at the moment, in the Academy that starts on the 16th, on the Sunday, what are you going to be talking about? What are the platforms that you're recommending? Because I know you were a massive fan of Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And you did loads of stuff on it. Do you know, I've been a member of Clubhouse since day one. I've got a couple hundred followers. I've never been into a discussion group there. I just don't have the time for it. Which is sad, really. But I know you're a big fan of it. So, but where are you seeing the places to be at the moment?
I think over the last 18 months, things have really changed for businesses that in terms of time and resource. And I think it all comes back down to their strategy and what they want to achieve from it. So you normally get a small business that will go out on every single platform. They've been told they've got to post 4 or 5 times a day and just think that posting out is going to get them the leads and inquiries. When actually what I'm going to be sharing with over the free social media masterclasses I'm doing next week is the exact blueprint that you need to take in order to actually get results from social media. And then after that is choosing the platforms where your audience actually hang out, which is the most important part, rather than just going straight to all the platforms and then going out. So, you know, Instagram and Facebook are always going to be there.
Yeah.
LinkedIn very much for that corporate. Mm. But again, YouTube's up and coming, especially with ads. They're proving so much more beneficial than Facebook ads.
Right.
So if you find that your industry is very much about how to, you can get out to your audience there, then again, that could be a really good direction. But it does come back to, what are you trying to achieve?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I've got a large following, get me, on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't do anything for me. I post on it all the time, and nothing from my strategy.
Yeah.
And as I said a million times, my strategy is to get people to click a link and go to my website. That is my entire strategy. I'm not trying to sell anything. I just want you to come and listen to this radio show. I get nothing from LinkedIn. Now, I know LinkedIn don't like external links anyway.
No.
So they don't show the post to most people if there's external links in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I find it really frustrating because I get nothing from LinkedIn.
And putting the link in the first comment box is a really good direction, so you can say link in comment rather than putting the link in the post, which works. But to get results from LinkedIn, you need to be engaging a lot.
Yeah.
So, and most platforms, you've got to engage a lot, but small businesses haven't got time to be engaged.
So hang on, you're advocating putting the link in the comment.
I would put the link in,
because I was doing that and I got told off by Ken Heron, our friend, and he said, no, that's a no. And this is the trouble. Everybody has a different opinion.
But it's what works for you.
Yeah.
So try one with the caption, try it with the one in the comment, and vary it. Don't allow every post to be about a link.
Yeah.
It's got to be about adding value as well.
Yeah.
And YouTube, I get that. But honestly, I just haven't got the time to watch. But I get sent so many YouTube films and things to watch. I just haven't got time. Mm. I'd love to watch them all.
Yeah.
I know loads of people that spend most of their life watching YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of telly and things.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The young generation.
If you look at the social analytics, people under the age of 30 watch more YouTube than they did television.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah. Funny enough, I'm reading a science fiction book at the moment, and it's a science fiction comedy. It's a spoof taking the mickey out of Star Trek. But it's quite clever, and it's a really funny book. And part of that was they just made a throwaway comment. When television ended in 2105,
It's like video killed the radio stuff.
Yeah, exactly, and where television came to an end, which it will do at some point, But you're right, you know, so many people use YouTube for all kinds of things, you know, as a source of entertainment, as a source of information.
Yeah.
My eldest son is restoring a...
chateau.
It's not a chateau, it's a manor house in France, and he's doing it all from YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Whereas I never look at YouTube. I'm just not a video person.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm talking information here. If I want information, I have to read it, because I'm slow-witted.
Yeah.
I'm so slow-witted that I need it on the screen in front of me so I can read it five times.
Whereas I'm a visual person.
Yeah, no, but it says, put the blue thing in the red thing, and I go, put the blue thing in the red thing. Put the blue thing in the red. red, blue, right, got it. Whereas if it's a video, you can't keep going backwards and forwards in the video to get that. So I'm much more a word person than a video person.
I'm more of a video person.
Yeah.
I'm more visual too. I'm very visual. Sure. And all my tweets always have a photo.
Yeah, which is perfect.
Yeah, that's how I like that. Come on, give us a nugget then for 2022, one of your very generous nuggets, Zoe Cairns.
I think for me, and lots of people out there within the marketing and social media space, I go, no, but if you can be really successful on one platform, I'd rather you do that than try and waste your time and resources spreading yourself thinly on trying to be on all of them. So in 2022, really harness the power of one platform and get those results.
I think that's incredibly good advice, and I need to take that advice as well, because because Twitter has been letting me down recently, I've tried to up my game on all the other platforms. And
how has it let you down?
Because it's just not engaging with anyone anymore. It's just,
and I think this is due to some of the changes that they're doing over on Twitter and their subscription model and stuff like that.
Do you think Twitter will have to wake up with things like Getter starting, other platforms starting, that are going to wake up and think, actually, we need to be a little bit more flexible?
I think they're making lots of investments. They've bought out Twitter Spaces, and now they've bought out this new subscription model. And
tell us about Spaces, because that keeps flagging up. I don't know what on earth it is.
I mean, Spaces is great. And the good old David Pepper, he's not old, actually. David Pepper's spoken at ZT Live a few times, and he's fab. And when we've got something that we really want to know about, we'll reach out to him. But Twitter Spaces is where exactly like Clubhouse. They jumped onto the back end of the Clubhouse success, and they thought, actually, let's bring this out on Twitter. And LinkedIn's just doing the same, and Facebook's done it. But it's where people can come on Twitter, you open an audio room, and your Twitter following sees that and can jump in and
That sounds like a riot.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you've got people following you that you might not necessarily know, you sometimes get some random people in there. It's not like it's not very restrictive. But I still prefer Clubhouse over Twitter Spaces. Sorry to say
that. Do you remember Twitter? It seems to have disappeared. But about a year ago, I got this thing where I could do little sound bites on Twitter, very short sound bites. And has that disappeared? I haven't seen it lately.
It's still on there.
Is it?
Yeah.
What was it called?
Do you remember? Create your just a little audio file.
That came to UK and wasn't yet available in America, because again, Ken Heron told me about it, and I used it for a bit, but it didn't really get me anywhere.
No, I tried it a couple of times and it didn't really.
It was like 12 seconds or something.
Yeah, it's just an audio clip. Listen, we're running out of time. We're almost at the end of the show, so. Zoe, thank you so much for that and for your insights. We always value your insights, and we look forward to you coming back and talking some more. But for the moment, everybody needs to join in with the Academy. So give us the details again, and then tell us how people can join in from Sunday the 16th.
So from Sunday the 16th, if you go on to my Twitter account, Zoe_Cairns, you'll see a recent tweet where it tells you where you can go and register for the free masterclasses. And I look forward to meeting with everyone.
that on the Kempersis Radio, there is a link to that sign-up page. There's a link to your Facebook page to sign up.
Brilliant.
So that's on there. That will stay on there for months and whatever, forever,
thank
actually.
So
we wish you much success with that.
Thank you for inviting me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us, Zoe. We really do appreciate it. For the moment, Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media. You're a star.
Thank you.
Lots of little nuggets there.
Yeah, I want this uninterrupted, especially because we
haven't got
very long. Yeah.
Off you go.
Thank you.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Right, we've got lots of events to tell you about. What I'm going to do, they're in no particular order, sorry, so the date order is all over the place. I'm going to tell you about loads of events that the Federation have got going on, and then at the end, I will give you a link for all of them should you wish to find out more or book them. A Business Acceleration, Ditch the Rearview Mirror, Wednesday the 12th of January, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. If you want to start 2022 by looking forward, not back, to achieve your business goals, then this is the webinar for you. The University of Kent, Kent Business School, in conjunction with the FSB of one of their partners, has a virtual business briefing on Friday the 14th of January. The Kent Business School and its summit partners will host a free virtual business briefing with key speakers outlining the regional economic landscape and strategy for growth. And I happen to know that the Bank of England and the economic development head of KCC are some of the speakers at that event. That's on the 14th of January. On Thursday the 13th of January, there's a property and construction event led by Peter Searle, and it's a four-part property and construction series held on a bi-monthly basis, and the event's topic is three steps to winning tenders. On Thursday the 13th of January, there's Overcoming Fear and Doubt in Business, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. On Wednesday the 19th of January from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. is Networking Let's Talk Technical for Engineering, Manufacturing and Transport Sectors. On Wednesday the 26th of January, Transition to Net Zero with the Zero Carbon Business Portal. That's 11 a.m. to lunchtime. And then on Thursday the 27th of January, How to Secure and Manage PR for Your Business, 11 a.m. to lunchtime. On Friday the 14th of January is the Southeast Ethnic Minority Networking. Join us for Diversity and Inclusion Networking. Our next speaker is Shania Ferdinand, who's the Enterprise Manager at NatWest. And she will be talking through making the most of your bank. And the session is led by the lovely Gemma Faircloth-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. On Wednesday the 26th of January, Kent Virtual Networking, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Join us for this Kent-based relaxed networking event with like-minded business owners. Everyone is welcome. The guest speaker for this event is Tracy McRobert, a grant writer specialist who will give some hints and tips on claiming business growth grants. So that could be very interesting. On Monday the 17th of January, New Year, New Markets, Practical Support on International Trade. International Trade offers fantastic opportunities for UK small businesses, but far too few take the plunge. So find out more about it on January the 17th. On Wednesday the 19th, Let's Talk Technical again, Engineering and Manufacturing and the Transport Sector. And then on Thursday the 20th of January, 11 a.m. to 12:30, Creating the Perfect Sales Pitch. Are you selling a product, service or concept to new and existing clients? If so, don't miss this fascinating one-off session. On Thursday the 20th of January, 8:45 a.m. to 2:15, so it's a long event, FinTech Innovation for Small Businesses. This is a virtual conference. Join FSB and FinTech Circle for the first annual conference focusing on FinTech solutions for micro and small businesses, giving you an opportunity to meet and engage with FinTech solutions and to understand the latest developments. And then there's a series of workshops, video marketing workshops. Session one, Video Marketing Foundations, begins on January the 28th. There are three more sessions after that, running through February. It's recommended that you attend all three sessions, and attendance at each workshop can be counted towards your CPD target. So that's video marketing workshops starting on Friday the 28th of January at 10:30. All of those events can be found and can always be found by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. There is all the FSB events are updated on a regular basis, and they all have links to find out more and to book your place. So do check that out. And there's also a special offer here. There's a free two-day ticket to the SME Expo, which is taking place on February the 23rd and 24th at Olympia in London. SMEs are the backbone of the UK economy. Ensuring our SMEs can survive and more can be set up is more important than ever. That's why the Evening Standard has launched SME Expo, a new exhibition and conference for SMEs taking place in Olympia on the 23rd, 24th of February. There will be more than 100 speakers. We'll offer 120 hours of free learning on strategy, investment, scaling up, sustainability and more. The event will also feature the 100 best-in-class suppliers. It's supported by the Department for International Trade, Cisco and the FSB. You can register for a free two-day ticket today and hear from founders and CEOs who took their small businesses from good to great. To do that, if you go to www.smexpo.co.uk. And that is the FSB news for this week.
Beautifully read, Paul Andrews. And the Athelbrae have been listening in, and they say great advice, harnessing one platform that works for you and your business, Zoe. Best use of time and resources. So that's Athelbrae. They are award-winning training and coaching, and you can find them on Athelbrae, B-R-A-E, at the end, .co.uk.
I got an email from Maidstone Borough Council, and I thought I'll read this to you.
Good.
Can you, they're asking, it's a plea. Yeah, can you create artwork for Moat Park? Maidstone Borough Council and BBS Construction are calling on artists to submit proposals to develop a piece of public art for the new cafe building within Moat Park. The artwork is to last a minimum of 10 years, and there is strong preference for it to be based on the history of the park, possibly incorporating memories of the past, people and children in the park over the years. Artists should consider how their piece of public art could be used to raise the profile and celebrate not just Moat Park, but Maidstone and its heritage. Artists are free to work in any medium and to interpret the history of Moat Park theme in any way they wish, to explore new technologies and creative ideas for the design and development of public art. If you want to find out more or submit a work of art project or you need to go to, hold on, I'm trying to find, you have until the 11th of February to submit a proposal. And the full budget, including installation, is 15 grand. So you're going to get paid for it as well if you win the proposal. To do that, if you go to www.bbsconstruction.com, and you can find out all about it there. So do check that out. Cool. What you got, Jules?
My timeline's gone mad. Beresfoods
never heard of them.
Some tweets as well. They're big enough to cope, Paul Andrews, and they're small enough to care.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So that's hello. No, my timeline's gone mad on AstraZeneca. So, and Mr. Ramsbottom, Rantbottom, he is, says, hi, Jules Serkin at Vanilla Web. I am also Armitage Renault Shanks in another life. This is one of my poems from my book called Eats, Shits and Leaves. So I don't read it now until live on air, until I've looked at it. But I'm still waiting for more info on the lawnmowers, because I've got a robot hoover, which hoovers and mops. It's very useful.
No, it's Gavin. Paragon Drones has said, loving the advice from Zoe Cairns, as always. So thank you for that.
You can find Paragon Drones on paragondrones.co.uk.
Cool. You can read one email and then we're off.
Okay, so Trading Standards chiefs say too many food businesses in the county are failing to comply with a new law brought in to prevent tragic deaths caused by allergic reactions. Natasha's law came into force on October the 1st last year. It requires pre-packaged food like takeaway sandwiches and salads to have their full ingredients listed, so that allergy sufferers can be sure that they are eating correctly. It's named after Natasha Ednan Laperouse, who died after suffering, I remember this story, it was awful, suffering an allergic reaction to sesame seeds, which were in a baguette she'd purchased from Pret-a-Manger, and she was only 15. I think she died on a flight, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Samantha Padfield, Kent Trading Standards Operations Manager, said out of the total 30 Kent samples tested in lab since October 24th, they had not complied. And so they want to get this right. And thanks to funding from the Food Standards Agency, we're offering a range of free advice to help businesses comply and give customers confidence, which in turn will help food grow. Very, very easy to slip in a few ingredients and not listen, especially if you're a business with under, was it 20 staff, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like cafes and things.
Yeah.
Small cafes.
I've got a very brief message here from Kevin Edmonds, Real Printer Media.
Ah.
He said, can you give us a shout-out?
Haven't heard from Kevin for ages.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's a shout-out, Kevin.
Yeah.
Realprintermedia.com. Go for it. And I've also got Paul Babra.
Oh, lovely. Spicy.
Yeah.
With his beer.
Chukka chukka. While we say goodbye to this challenging year of 2021, we're making initial provisions for our fully fitted Sprinter van to be placed a few locations for readily serving our home-cooked Carrara foods. If you're interested for us to serve our Carrara nice and spicy foods, gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian and meat dishes, including takeaways, if you'd like it from your location, give us a shout. Produced in kent.co.uk/Carrara on wheels. Also, Paul has produced a new beer.
Oh, another one.
Well, it's a beer called
Chukka Chukka.
It's Chukka Chukka, which is a spicy beer.
Yeah, which you believe goes very well. I've drunk quite a few of those actually. Paul,
have
Landers.
You?
Yeah.
You've experienced them.
Yeah,
have you?
And they're gluten free, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I remember, and my new husband and I sampled quite a lot when he was in Faversham.
Right.
And it goes really well with it, with an Indian, a spicy Indian.
Does it?
Yeah. It's quite hard to match, isn't it, yeah. Chris, when you have an Indian? What do you drink with an Indian? It's quite hard. Most people have a lager, don't they?
Cobra, normally.
Cobra.
Don't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Spitting cobra.
Yeah. But, he's doing very well with Chukka Chukka, and he's now moving into the global export market.
Well, I think he was always doing stuff in Dubai, and I can see a lot of expats would buy it out in Dubai.
Well, he's very big in Canada and France.
Yeah.
That's because half his relatives live in Canada
and
France.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Bless him. Yeah. But he's doing very well with it. Do try it out if you get a chance. Chukka Chukka. It's a spicy lager made by the wonderful Paul Babra in Canterbury.
There's an urgent call for landlords with one-bed flats or studios, and that's Maidstone Borough Council, who we've mentioned previously in the show. They're looking urgently for landlords with self-contained one-bedroom flats or studios to house residents in need across the borough. And just keeping an eye on the time, so I'm just going to read out the email, which is homefinders@maidstone.gov.uk, and there's a phone number, which is 01622 602252.
Fantastic. Discovery Park in Sandwich launches a skills hub. The Life Science Campus, Discovery Park, based in Sandwich, has brought together the combined expertise of Canterbury Christchurch University, the East Kent College Group, Pfizer, the STEM Hub and the University of Kent to create the skills hub. This is a way for tenants to offer further training to their workforce, as well as helping them find new talent to drive their businesses forward. Jane Kennedy, Chief Business Officer at Discovery Park, said gaining access to people with the right skills continues to be one of the biggest challenges facing businesses of all sizes and in many sectors, and this is our way to help. So it also provides awareness among businesses of the recently created T levels, which are an equivalent of 3A levels and designed to meet the needs of industry. We've talked about T levels quite a lot. They're really not happening in the way that they should. We went to the launch at the House of Commons, four years ago, and they still really haven't taken off, which is a real shame because it's a fantastic initiative. But there you go. We've reached the end of another show.
We have.
I want to say...
First of the year.
Yeah, you know, the first of 2022. Mm-hmm. Our 14th year gets underway, and I still can't cope with her.
I wouldn't want to
really. Yeah. I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests, Mr. Chris Dodd of Beresford Accountants.
Thank you.
The fantastically brilliant Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to my co-host, the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin. We'll be back next week with another show, but bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.